薄いのアホ。
プリズムタワーメイクアップカードレディー。
So welcome to Shoujo and Tell, where we discuss shoujo manga and tell who's hot and who's not, talk about themes, and just generally geek out. Today, September 16th, 2017, we'll be discussing the series Revolutionary Girl Utena. I'm your host, Ashley McDonald, and I'm joined by Rose Bridges.
Hey.
Yo. You're the guest, so do you want to explain a little about yourself?
Yeah, my name is Rose. I'm a grad student. I mainly study music, particularly anime soundtracks. I write for Anime News Network from time to time, so you can find me there. I'm also just finished a book about the music of Cowboy Bebop that will be out in November, called 33 and a Third, Yoko Kanno's Cowboy Bebop Soundtrack. So look for that if you're at all interested.
Nice. I feel like you live the dream. You're like, I write about music in anime.
Yeah, I guess so. It doesn't always feel like the dream.
I feel like that's the problem with dreams. You get them and you're like, this wasn't as cool as I thought it was going to be. But okay.
Yeah, it's still pretty cool. I'm not complaining. It's just, you know, it's not as like perfect as maybe I thought it would be. I don't know that I ever specifically dreamed about studying anime soundtracks, but you know, being paid and getting a degree and writing about stuff I really like. I don't know if it was quite as, you know, rainbows all the time as maybe I thought once upon a time, but it's still a lot of fun. I am not complaining.
Cool. So I'm assuming that Utena is one of your favorite shoujo series, but do you have others to give us some context of your shoujo cred?
Oh yeah, Utena is probably my favorite shoujo. Well, it's my favorite anime series, period. So there's that. I think my favorite shoujo manga, and it's weird to say this because I'm still making my way through it, is Fruits Basket.
Oh.
Yeah, and my favorite shoujo anime, not Utena, would be, I don't know if Princess Tutu counts. Oran definitely does.
Yes.
So yeah, those are some of my favorites.
Nice. All right, so I start off all of these with where you can actually read this, because I like to promote legal ways to read things.
Yep, me too.
Yeah, so Utena was actually re-released recently as a hardcover box set by Viz for the 20th anniversary of the series. So, like, I mean, it's a little bit more expensive, but you can get it for, like, $35 from most places that are selling it. And it is very pretty. It's very sturdy. It's actually really hard to get it out of the box is what I found.
Yeah, that's what I found, too. You have to kind of, like, tip it.
Yeah, you have to, like, aggressively, like, shake it out of the box, which is really fun. It's a lot of fun. And so, like, $35 gets you, it's the original's 5 volumes, then there's Adolescence of Utena, which is probably, like, a volume plus some side stories. So it's, like, 6 or 7 volumes worth of content for $35. Pretty good.
I got it from Right Stuff in, like, a shipment of, like I said, it was a shipment entirely of gay manga, because it was that one. It was my brother's husband, and it was a Lesbian Experience with Loneliness. All very good.
Oh, nice.
Would recommend.
I've read my Lesbian Experience with Loneliness. Also thought it was really good. The other one is on my big stack of manga pile.
Oh, it is so good. It is so good.
Yay, good manga.
It's not as sad as people, I think, are saying. It's sort of, it kind of hits like it's accurate without being like constant sadness angst.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
So like the opposite of Fruits Basket.
Yeah, well, no, I think it's like Fruits Basket. It has a mix of tones in there. But like people are like, oh, it's, you know, really tragic, especially when they like talk about it in comparison to something like Yuri on Ice. I'm like, well, sure, but what? I've read much sadder gay stories out there.
Yeah. Yuri on Ice is like not sad at all. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Yes, and I should throw in the disclaimer that my romantic partner does work at Viz, so I do like financially profit off of this company, I suppose. But I have no stake in that game. I don't work there. I don't care.
I have no connections, and I still think you should buy it legally. It's super nice. It's a really nice addition. It's very much worth it.
Yep. And then I guess the wrench in this is that there are 2 new chapters that have come out of the manga.
Oh, yeah. I heard about that.
Yeah, I've heard about that. It's coming out. I think one's not out yet. It's coming out in Flowers magazine. I assume that perhaps we will never have a legal way to read those, but they do exist. I don't know. I did not read them.
More impetus for me to learn how to read Japanese.
Right? Yeah. Go order Flowers magazine so that you can have it. And then
yeah.
then translate it for yourself. That's how I recommend this. Yeah, so what is Utna about? You want to try to explain this?
Yeah, that's a good question. Utna is a new girl at this very fancy school, and she is roped into doing these duels where you fence for your, I was going to say fence for your life. I'm not sure where that...
They don't kill each other normally.
I was thinking of lip sync for your life, I guess, RuPaul. but I was so they have these fencing things for possession of the Rose Bride, who is Anthe, which ostensibly ties in some way to the power of someone called End of the World, who you eventually figure out who that is, but not going to say anything yet because that's a spoiler.
Spoilers.
And then in the manga, there's a lot more school shenanigans type stuff. There's some of that in the anime too, but yeah, the I would say it's very surreal and really hard to summarize. If you don't like surrealism, the manga is the version I would say for you, but if you like it being maximum trippy, then the anime is the version for you.
Yeah, I really struggled because I mean we're both going to assume that more people are familiar with the anime, but I feel like the manga is sort of some sort of like litmus test for how much you'll like Utna. Like it's kind of like,
yeah,
Utna light version, and if you can't handle that, then yeah, you're definitely not going to handle the anime.
Yeah, well, sort of. I mean, it depends on what you like about the anime. I mean, like I think the manga, without going too much into the differences, the manga is not as queer as the anime is, right, generally. So if that's what you're going into Utna for, and you're told, you know, this series is super gay, like you go into the manga, you might be kind of disappointed.
It's true. It's only like slightly gay.
Yeah. I'll talk more about the expectations when we get to the spoiler, because I think that was the what people say about the manga versus the anime, I think, helped me enjoy the manga more, weirdly enough. The way that people can be really negative about it made me enjoy it more.
That's interesting. Yeah, I guess I found that in other things where, like, negative reviews, like, really hype up this one aspect, and you're like, it wasn't as bad as you made it seem.
Like, yeah. The reverse can happen, too. If people overhype something, you can make it kind of disappointed. You can make it disappointing if it's not quite there. So.
That's true.
Be careful how you hype things, people.
Yeah, just be a little more, take it down a notch. Just one notch.
Yeah.
We'll be good. Yeah, so, just want to confirm, you have seen the anime.
I've seen the anime, I've seen the movie, I have read the entire manga, including the movie manga, but I read the movie manga a while ago, because I got it on its own before I got this set. And I've been rewatching the anime sporadically over the past few months.
Oh.
Yeah.
Nice. So I assume you watched the anime, like, I think it was more formative for you than me, because I've only actually more recently watched it, like, within the past, like, 3 to 4 years was the first time that I Utna'd.
Well, I first watched it 4 years ago, actually.
Oh, okay, cool. So we have comparable experience then.
Yeah, it was like when I was getting back into anime, though. So it was one of the big series that I sort of had on my list to sort of get through some sort of important formative anime series. I've seen a lot of the formative anime series more recently than most people have. Like, for someone who just wrote a book on Cowboy Bebop, I always feel weird saying, yeah, I only first watched this show like 5 years ago.
No, I feel like I had that experience too, and it's been really slow. Like, I'm like, oh yeah, everybody likes Cowboy Bebop. I guess maybe I should watch that. Like, okay, I watched it like 10 years after everybody thought it was cool, I guess. Yeah, so Utna was that way for me too. To my great shame, I only watched it dubbed for the most part.
Oh no.
Because the dub is the only thing that's available on Hulu. And I did not realize that Noizumi Entertainment has it both dubbed and subbed legally on YouTube.
Yeah.
I only found that out after we had watched all 39 episodes, and I was like, oh no. Gosh, no.
But did you still enjoy it?
I mean, I still liked it, yeah. Like, I thought, you know, Utna's voice was... Some of the voices are like, no, that's pretty good. And then other people like Nanami, I'm like, oh god, please don't talk.
She seems like she could be a character. I've never seen the dub other than like a few clips, but she seems like a character who could very easily be made annoying.
Yes, that's definitely what happened. But I mean, Utna is voiced by the person who did Misty in Pokemon, and you can definitely kind of hear that. But like, it fits. I'm pretty okay with that.
Yeah.
And whoever did Toga, I was like, yeah, that's pretty accurate, Toga.
That's Crispin Freeman, I think.
Okay, there we go. Yeah. Like, that's an accurate Toga. So, like, it's some good, some bad. It's fine. They didn't, you know, like, get rid of the music. So it was, yeah, it was fine.
Better than lots of 90s anime dubs in that regard.
Right? That's what I'm saying.
I was so upset when I, like, first watched Japanese Sailor Moon, and I was like, there's so much great classical music in here they cut out of the dub soundtrack. Why would you do that? And, I mean, I know the answer is probably right, but...
Like, but that answer is no fun, so...
Yeah.
Yeah, so then I assume that he also, this reading the manga for the first time, was this re-release from Viz?
Yeah, this is my first time reading it, other than the movie manga, which I had read a while ago.
Right. It actually was kind of funny for me, because after I'd watched the anime, I was like, oh, I wish I could read the manga, but of course it's, like, super out of print.
Yeah.
And I was like, lol, should, like, petition Viz to re-release it, and then they kind of did that on their own, like, 2 months later. I was like, sweet, it's great. I love it. Yeah, and then I guess I basically just wanted to ask, like, what is your favorite thing about the series for anybody who has not utnud and is still listening?
Series in general or the manga specifically?
I guess we should keep it manga specific, and then if you have a more general thing.
Yeah, I mean, my favorite thing about the manga, I think, is probably Chiyo Saito's art style. Like, that was the thing that got me to read it, in spite of, like, some of the negative comments that I had heard about it in relation to the anime. Mm-hmm. So I was like, I really like this art style. I can deal with a slightly different story if I get to look at how pretty this stuff is.
Yeah. It is really pretty.
Yeah. Also, she has some really great... I love, like, when she does those asides at, like, the end of chapters where she draws, like, Ikuhara and Okito in her art style. Oh, yeah. As chibis.
Being like, what should we do about the anime? And then she gives an answer. Yeah. And they're like, we're not going to do that. Bye.
Yeah, she kind of was left out of the loop in the anime in a kind of crappy way. In a lot of, I don't know the details, that's what I've heard, that they often left her out of the loop in kind of crappy ways.
What I had also read was that the manga, like, they were in production at the same time, but the manga started, like, before the anime, and then obviously they, like, severely diverge, but...
Yeah.
That's interesting.
I mean, not totally, like, I think you can tell they were being made at the same time. Like, it's not like a Full Metal Alchemist situation where, like, they go completely different directions after a certain point. But, like, you could tell, I think, with this manga, that they were being made around the same time. They were trying to meet those same story beats. Maybe, like, a Game of Thrones situation to be more comparable. Like, those books are probably in a different things, but I think they're planned to meet some of the same story beats as the show. Like, that's sort of what it felt like reading this manga. Like... Yeah. The outline was maybe the same, but the details were vastly different.
Yeah. and entire arcs in the anime are just, like, relegated to, like, little side stories. And you're like, oh, okay, cool.
Yeah, like, the Black Rose arc is, like, just a side story that's completely different from how it plays out as an entire third of the anime. And my favorite third of the anime. So that was kind of weird to see it left out. But, I mean, I don't know that it would have worked in this version of the story.
Well, we can get into that later.
Yeah.
I feel like my favorite thing about the series is just kind of, like, Utena herself.
Yeah.
I relate to Utena.
Yeah, she's awesome. I find a lot relatable to her about who I was as a teenager, too.
Yeah, because, like, I grew up and I was always, like, people were like, Ashley, like, you're not feminine enough. Like, why do you want to play hockey on this boys' team? I'm like, why do we have to be like this? Like, we don't have to be like this. Because I want to, okay? This is just, leave me be, okay?
Yeah. Yeah, like, the way she just doesn't really care about that stuff until, like, kind of people make her care is very relatable to me.
Yeah. All right. So I'm going to put the official spoiler warning here. Like, now we're going to go, like, hardcore spoilers. So if you have not watched Utena or you haven't read the manga, like, as we've said, the anime and the manga do have a lot of similarities, but they also do diverge. So they're, if you have only seen the anime, things might get spoiled. You might want to read the manga first. So with that.
But yeah, so there are a lot of differences, I think, between them, particularly in how they deal with a lot of the themes that I think Utena is really well known for, like gender and sexuality, feminist commentary type of stuff. What do you think about that?
I mean, it's like all of those things are there in the manga.
Yeah.
At a basic level, especially gender and sexuality. But there's certainly things in the anime that go much further than that.
Yeah.
Not just with queerness, but also with, like, the levels of abuse and sexual violence that happens there is definitely left out of the manga.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that can be seen as, like, sort of a detriment to its overall commentary. It's not, but I don't think it, like, necessarily has to be. Like, it's still doing a pretty good job.
Yeah. My thought was kind of like, The manga, I feel like, is Utena is maybe a more traditional shoujo narrative. But even then, like, I'd been told so much that that was what it was like. It's so straight and it's so typical shoujo that I feel like I was surprised in the ways in which it wasn't. Like, I still think it like, there's a lot more, like, heteronormativity and stuff like that in the manga. But I still feel like, in general, it still touches on a lot of those feminist themes. Less the queer themes, but definitely some of the same feminist themes.
Yeah, like, I find it very hard to read this manga and be like, this is just straight up shoujo. Like, I definitely think it's still a deconstruction of many of the typical tropes of shoujo. Again, perhaps to a lesser degree than the anime, but it's definitely not a straight up shoujo. Like, writing this plot line, I was like, or like, the outline for this podcast, I was like, this is so hard because I made this for more as typical shoujo than Utena. It's so hard to describe this. That's my test for that. I'm like, nope, this is hard.
Yeah, it's definitely not, this is not Marmalade Boy. Like, this is not, like, traditional shoujo romance at all. There's still a lot that's Utena about it. I think it just, if you started with the anime and you're expecting it to be just like the anime, I mean, sort of, I guess, would say is, like, go in with an open mind and particularly know that, you know, the queer themes are significantly reduced, although not non-existent, in my opinion. And, like, you'll probably enjoy it more if you come in with those expectations.
Yeah.
Which is what I got, and I think that's why I enjoyed it, because I think I had been told, like, oh, it is, like, I had been told it was much more conventional and much less queer and feminist than it actually was, and so I was able to enjoy what I could get out of that rather than, you know, be upset. I think expectations play a lot in that. Like, if you're going in expecting to be disappointed by something, and you aren't, you'll be really happy. But if you don't, like, if you go in expecting something to be amazing and isn't, then you'll be disappointed, even if the second thing's, like, overall better than the first thing.
Yeah, my expectations had not been so clearly negative. Like, I had heard that many things were different, like, that the Black Rose arc was just, like, not in the manga, and I was like, okay, interesting.
Yeah.
And those types of things. But yeah, it wasn't overall, like, it's negative. It was just like, here are a lot of differences that have added up. Then I was like, how does that play out in the manga then? Like, I don't understand.
Yeah.
But now I do. So that's, and it's still pretty good. It's how I feel. And I would say that reading the manga, it's certainly, I mean, I normally feel this way with shoujo because I'm a girl, and I guess that makes sense. But, like, there were a lot of things that I was like, yes, I relate to this in a lot of ways. Like, even the subtle ways in which Wakaba's like, no, Utena, I love you, and, like, blah, blah, blah. And, like, girls kiss each other. Like, I don't know. When I was in high school, my friends and I, like, made a game of kissing each other. Like, oh, if you kiss their hand, you get, like, 5 points. If you manage to kiss their face, you get, like, 10 points and stuff.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I wish my friends had played that game. You know, having gone to high school as a closeted bisexual girl, I think I would have figured out a lot sooner.
Yeah, so I just thought it was, like, a pretty fun, like, open exploration of girls' sexuality in a way that was, like, yeah, I feel like that kind of accurately, in its over-the-top deconstruction, like, actually accurately portrays how my life went.
Yeah, I was pleasantly surprised to still see. I mean, it's mostly subtext in the manga, not text like it is in the anime and especially the movie. But, like there's still a lot of gay subtext between Utena and Anthy and Utena and Wakaba. So I was like, hey, this is not as straight as I was told it was going to be.
I know. I'm like, Chiho Saito has said, like, I don't know, I didn't really think about all these things. But I'm like, really, you didn't think about these things? Like, you still had Anthy and Utena kiss and stuff. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
it's real hard to believe.
I also felt like it wasn't railroading her toward, like, a romance with Touga as much as I was told it would. Like, she definitely has, like, there are feelings there, and that's a focus, but it didn't really end in the place I expected it to end with regard to that. I think it's still kind of conflicted about that whole thing as a whole.
Yeah. I guess I'm trying to think, like, the movie manga part of it goes a little harder into that, maybe.
Yeah.
But still doesn't end that way. It's still like, whatever, that was the past, now we must escape.
I remember showing, like, the movie, the opening picture of the movie manga to a friend who'd only seen the anime, and she was like, oh, Toga's dick. Hello, old friend.
Hello. It's true. I was like, oh, okay. Yeah. We've gone somewhere else now.
Yeah. Because there's way more, that, like, and yeah, I also, the manga's a lot, I think, more Safer Work, the not the movie manga, but the rest of the manga.
Yeah.
It's not, it, there isn't as much as implied sex as in the anime. I don't know if, I can't remember that the anime gets pretty close to having actual sex scenes, but they, most of it's an implication.
Yeah, I think it's just very, very heavily implied.
It's like, it does it through symbolism.
Yeah.
Like stop signs and that kind of stuff. Or like somebody is shown emerging from a bed in a state of undress.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, that's in the anime. You don't get stuff like that in the manga, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, in the just anime version of the manga, it's like pretty, I don't remember anybody being naked.
Yeah, so in that sense, it's more shoujo. It's more that there's less sex. But I mean, that's not, I think, most people's primary drive to read or watch Utena, so.
Yeah.
Especially considering the sex in the anime is not exactly like happy, cuddly sex.
Oh, it's definitely not happy. It was actually funny because 20 minutes before recording this, Jeff kissed me on the forehead and then was like, I assume there's kissing in Utena. And I was like, yeah, I mean, she's like having sex with Toga right now. And he was like, wait, what? And I was like, yeah, I mean, she kisses the girl too. But like, I don't know, man. Everything happens in Utena. Just assume.
Yeah. And I mean, in the anime, even the stuff that is some that is maybe consensual is not like good for anyone. Like, I was just thinking about that silly video on YouTube that the AMV, the silly AMV that's like Akio / Toga, and I'm like, you watching this, you would never know like how f***ed up that relationship is in the in the anime. All right, do you want to go through the specific differences?
Yeah, let's do that. So one difference that strikes me right off the bat reading the manga that I think is pretty big is that there's a prologue that yeah. tries to like explain Utena's backstory more,
which I thought was kind of unnecessary, but also like in a general sense, but I think it sets the tone for the difference in the manga, and that it doesn't try to be as weird and unconventional as the anime, where like in the anime, like the relationship of Otori Academy to the real world is like never explained.
Yeah.
it's like blatantly like metaphor world. It doesn't need to be explained, but they try to explain that in the manga, and I think that sets the tone for like this series is a little more conventional and less concerned with blowing your mind at every opportunity.
Yeah, it's definitely less concerned with that. Yeah, I also pretty much thought it's pretty unnecessary. Like, it doesn't really stick with you as you keep reading. It's also kind of weird. I can't ever not laugh when she calls the prince like Mr. Licky Lick. I'm like, is that yeah. really what is being said here? Like, I can't accept this. This is ridiculous.
Yeah, both what it implies and also that the name just sounds so childish.
Yeah, I'm like, okay, Prince Licky Tongue? Like, what's happening? What's up?
I'm just imagining a Lick-a-Tongue exactly. with like a little crown on its head.
I mean, that's basically, I think that's a perfect image for what's going on here. It's ridiculous. Yeah, and I guess, like, basically this prologue is set up so that, like, Utena lives with her aunt because her parents have died, which is always a thing that's been established. Mm-hmm. She gets saved by a mysterious Licky Lick prince man and is always like, I want to be a prince. And then, of course, she, like, there's a guy who smells like roses and she thinks, oh, is he my prince? But then, like, he or she sees him with her aunt because he, like, likes her, I guess. And then she's like, what? Oh no, but then she figures out the secret that he like
yeah.
went to Otori Academy and is like, I must go there. That must be where my prince is. It's like, okay, interesting backstory, I suppose.
It's weird to me mostly that the backstory just gets completely dropped.
Yeah.
Like, but that's the thing that I think bothers me about it the most is like none of the characters from that show up or really get mentioned ever again. Like she had a guy friend at her old school who talks to her and I think had a crush on her.
Totally.
But I can't remember if that was only implied or if it was stated, but I thought it was stated. But like he never shows up again. She never really talks about him again. That was weird to me.
Yeah. She definitely never talks about him. And she doesn't talk about her aunt who in the prologue, she's like, oh, I like love my aunt so much. She's, you know, been everything to me. She's taken care of me since my parents have died. Mm-hmm. She like sticks up for my right to wear this boy's uniform and all this stuff. And then she goes off and she's like, nope, never mention that again. I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
It made it feel very tacked on.
Yeah.
So that made it harder for it to work, like, dramatically for me, as it felt tacked on. It felt like the fact that she never even thinks about these people again was weird.
It's especially weird to think of it as tacked on since it's at the beginning. And it's like, wait, what are you talking about?
Like, that was presumably the part that came out before the rest of the anime did.
Yeah, so then, like, two chapters into the manga, you forget about this prologue because it's super tacked on.
Yeah.
And then you begin to notice, I guess, that there are, like, two things that become abundantly clear pretty quickly. Is that Juri is just, like, straight.
Yeah, which was very hard for my brain to wrap itself around.
Oh, really?
Because so much of her character in the anime is about her being a lesbian and her feelings for Shiori. Not that there isn't more to her, but it kind of made her feel like a different person, especially because her personality is somewhat different in the manga, too.
Yeah.
Like, Nanami isn't there, and I feel like Juri kind of fills the role that Nanami has in the anime, which if you've seen the anime, you know, is like really strange statement because they're totally different characters.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of what it feels like. There's at least one more instance where this character is just taken, like Miki's sister seems to have taken on the parts of Nanami. Like, she's also not there for that long, but like,
yeah,
she's has definitely the like brother complex that Nanami is supposed to have. And it's just given to her in the manga.
I mean, they have that in the anime. Like, the twins have that in the anime, but I feel like their relationship is a little more complicated than it was in the manga.
Like, that's only her character trait in the manga that we're shown, whereas in the anime, she gets a much more greater arc than that.
Yeah, the manga is more straightforward, kind of like twin relationship on Yuri and Ice would be a good comparison for people who've seen that. And sort of your more stereotypical example of that in anime.
Yeah.
Whereas it's a lot more complicated in the anime, and how you're supposed to feel about it is more complicated, and I don't know. That plot line's one I don't fully understand, but it's like complicated, and I was talking to a friend who's a twin, and she's like, yeah, twin relationships are complicated. I think that's all Utena's trying to say about
that's
it.
That's all that it's trying to say about it.
That's what it's trying to say about it. No, she didn't say all, but she said that's what it's trying to say about it.
Okay.
And just sort of like, it'd be hard to explain to someone who isn't that.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah, I guess with Juri and Miki and even Sayonji, it's kind of like in the manga, since there is no like middle arc really, and a lot of the things that happen in the later arc are very different. All of their development is kind of relegated to this early duelist arc where they all just like duel Utena once.
Yeah.
And that's kind of like, okay. But yeah, it doesn't give room to explore their characters that much. And so you're just left with the whatever you had from the anime and this.
Yeah, you're kind of left with sort of they, I don't want to say they're like first arc characterization in the anime, because I think they're also like Sayonji isn't as awful as he is. I don't remember him being as cruel. I could be wrong about this, but I don't remember him being as cruel in the manga as he was in the anime. Like, they're all kind of, I think, simplified characters, and sort of the focus is more, I think, on the main characters of Utena, Anthy, and Toga, and Akio. Like, like the other student council members aren't really that complicated.
Yeah, I mean, it's like Sayonji is reduced to being just like mean person who like hits Anthy sometimes, and then is like overly aggressive to Utena. I mean, there is the scene.
Oh yeah, he is still mean. Okay.
That still happens. The part where he's like, I'm gonna force you to duel me, Utena, in an elevator without Anthy, and like I have a sword and you have nothing, lol, isn't that cool? And then he stabs Toga.
He's still a gross lord.
Yeah, he just kind of has like a turn face, like he becomes nice by the end sort of deal.
Yeah, and I don't remember him having as much subtext to Toga as he did in the anime.
Yeah.
Like, it's really easy, I think, if you look at Sayonji's arc in the anime, to sort of read him as gay and closeted and possibly having feelings for Toga that he doesn't really know how to acknowledge, so he turns it into aggressive masculinity.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
But there's none of that complexity in the manga. It's just like, he was a jerk, and then suddenly he wasn't a jerk. Because he's a minor character, he's not really the focus.
Yeah, and we needed to be a jerk just because, like, each student council member represents some patriarchy sort of nonsense. And then we need him to be nice at the end because they all realize that they've been played and are wrong and need to, like, save the world or something. And he's a good guy or whatever.
Yeah.
I guess. maybe.
Yeah.
I love Choo-Choo's hate of Seonji. It gives me great joy.
Yeah, like Choo-Choo seems to go out of his way to mess with Seonji. Oh yeah, there's that weird side story. It's sort of similar to one of the anime episodes, I think the curry one.
Yeah.
But it's not exactly the same, but it's sort of similar.
Well, the curry side story is a different side story, I think. The one where he finds the, like, statue thing is a different side story and makes all of them tiny.
I think in the anime, well, so, like, Nanami in the anime kind of takes over.
Oh, right.
The Choo-Choo is it ever her thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's sort of similar to what happens with Seonji with Choo-Choo having it out for him.
Right.
But Nanami's more the butt of everybody's joke in the anime, but she's basically non-existent here. Do you want to talk about that? Because you read this more recently than I did.
Yeah, I mean, really the only part that I remember her being in is in a picture.
Yeah.
With Toga and, like, Miki and Utena being like, oh, is this your sister? And he's just like, yeah.
Yeah.
like, that's kind of it that I remember. She's definitely not a duelist. That's not a thing.
Yeah. And yeah, Juri kind of takes over the mean girl who's in love with Toga role.
Yeah.
And as you said, Koze is the, she's like the sister who's in love with her brother thing.
Yeah, so they take those, and then obviously there's like less filler, so Nanami does not appear in every filler arc to be the butt of some weird magic thing that happens. or whatever. Yeah, and I mean, just generally, I'm kind of okay with that. Like, Nanami was never my favorite character.
I really liked Nanami in the anime.
I mean, I feel like that could be colored by the fact that I watched it dubbed. It's kind of why I'm hedging.
Yeah, so she's like the Chibiusa. Yeah. The character that everybody dislikes partly because of how the dub is. But yeah, I didn't watch the dub, and I love Nanami. She was one of my favorite characters. Up there with Utena and Juri as my favorites in the anime.
Interesting.
Yeah. I also liked Anthy a lot. Anthy's she's a hard character to relate to emotionally, obviously. But she's a very interesting character.
I don't know. I really like Anthy, but yeah, it's like I've never quite grasped what is up with Anthy. I'm still like reeling 2 years after having watched the anime from the ending. I'm like, wait, what?
Yeah.
What has happened? What is going on? I'm still confused.
Yeah, it's definitely Anthy's stuff in particular, I think, benefits from rewatch.
Yes.
My favorite part of the anime was the Black Rose arc. It's more or less not here. There's a side story, but it's basically just the beginning and end of it in the anime. All the individual Black Rose duelists are not there.
Yeah.
I mean, many of them aren't characters. Like, Koze is there, but she doesn't play any role in that, in the manga. I'm trying to think of anybody else. Well, I guess Nanami's not there, so her Mean Girl Squad isn't there.
Yeah.
Well, Wakaba's a character, obviously, but yeah, she doesn't play any role in the Black Rose thing in the manga either, if I remember correctly.
Oh, yeah, no. The way that the Black Rose thing goes in the manga is basically just, like, they find out about this place, like, Utena gets invited to the whatever dorm area, and people are like, oh, like, Wakaba's like, no, that's the place where 100 people have died, 100 boys died, like, a jillion years ago, and Utena's like, what are you talking about? And then, like, Anthy goes there before, and then you just find out that it's like, yeah, it's that guy from 100 years ago, and he feels bad because his experiment went wrong. Like, obviously, they're alternate versions of Utena and Anthy, and then, yeah, they, like, defeat them, and they disappear, which is kind of, I guess, a summary of the movie of, like,
yeah,
you get eternally trapped in a place. yeah, and there's no dueling, like, there's no plot that he's trying to do to, like, get out, because the plot of the manga, or of the anime one, is that he's, like, trying to get out of that space, right? Like, bring them back to life. So he's, like, doing an experiment thing.
He's sort of like a male Utena who didn't quite go far enough. I think that's what the Black Rose thing is intended to be in the anime, is like Nomuro has a lot of space to Udna, like, both on the surface. They're both pink-haired. And also, he's trying to break out of the system. He's got a character who is of the same gender of his, or so he thinks, who is also a rose bride, rose groom, I guess he wants him to be. Mm-hmm. And and he's trying to break out of the system using this, and he just doesn't go quite far enough, and he just ceases to exist. Anime spoilers.
And he's, like, trying to, yeah, in the same way that World's End is trying to use all the student council people to duel, like, he's alternatively trying to do that, but then, like, each of them is, like, every time they fail, there's, like, a coffin thing or whatever that, like, goes into Netherworld.
And Nimero's fate is kind of, like, foreshadowing Utena's eventual fate, but different, because, yeah, I don't want to ruin the ending of the anime for people who've only experienced the manga.
Oh, gosh. I feel like we should assume everybody's more seen the anime than just read the manga.
Yeah, yeah, maybe, yeah. But yeah, with how, like, Utena kind of disappears from everyone's minds except Andy at the end. And so it's implied that she did actually sort of change the system to some degree, whereas Numero did not. He just sort of blinked out of that existence.
Right. I mean, that's just the same end of the manga, is everybody forgets who Utena was.
Yeah.
Except Auntie, who kind of becomes Utena.
Yeah, I've never heard the manga kind of ends not that differently from the anime. So it is sort of like, it is like the Game of Thrones situation in terms of, like, outline is similar. What they filled in with is very different.
Yeah. So should we go into what they filled it in with as differences?
Yeah.
Okay. So the basic story that we get in the manga, you know, Akio comes, he's set up to be Anthe's brother. Anthe still has the whole, like, I'd do anything for him. The backstory is that Akio and Dios used to be one, but then because Dios saved Anthe, he, like, then became a prince and became more powerful than Akio, and Akio was like, nah. So then he, like, kills Dios, but Anthe saves Dios, who lives in the castle that's above the dueling field. And then Utena comes and obviously has fallen in love with Akio because she's like, oh, you're my prince. Toga tries to be like, no, he's World's End. You don't want the world to end. That's bad. Like, you should not do what he says. But she gets a little confused because she's Utena and she's in seventh grade or whatever. You get confused then.
I forget about that all the time in both versions, that Utena's only supposed to be like 12 or 13.
Yeah, I think the manga profile put her at 14, but that's still...
Oh, yeah, 14. She should be 8th grade, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, 8th grade makes sense, because I think, like, Miki is, like, a year younger, and he's in 7th grade, so, yeah.
Yeah, so that's fun. So then she's like, yeah, I'm totally in love with this guy. She strays, and everybody's like, no, you were wrong. So then they go up, and, like, Anthe's finally explaining her version of the story to Utena, and Utena's like, oh, I see. And they do the, like, freezing people in a coffin thing, like, Sayonji is whatever assumption or whatever gets frozen in the coffin. And you're like, oh no, Anthe, like, has magic powers for real. And then, so, obviously, they're trying to stop Akio from, like, actually killing Dios. Get there, and he's like, you were a second too late! Ha 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 ha! But of course they triumph, and then he, like, it's such a convoluted thing of...
Yeah. Well, I think the main differences are, like, the whole Akio versus Dios thing is, it's not as straightforward in the anime. I mean, the sort of idea, I think, is that Akio once was Dios, but Dios still exists in some form in Utena's heart or something like that. I forget the specific, but it's like, there's never this literal battle.
There's never, like, a literal, like, we used to be one, now we're two, but we were always kind of two thing.
Yeah, there's never anything that explicit.
Yeah, because one of them's supposed to be dark, Akio's dark, and Dios is light or something, yeah.
I mean, Akio is basically the devil, like,
yeah,
in both versions, because he's named for that, I think, one star that is a symbol of the devil.
Right, yeah. But he turns Utena into the Rose Bride instead of Anthe. Yeah. So then Utena's like, no, not Anthe. I gotta save Anthe.
That happens in both of them, I remember, where he tries to make Utena his new Rose Bride and discard Anthe, and she won't have that.
Right. I think this is definitely one main difference that I remember, is that, of course, Anthe comes back. Like, Utena does save her. As we discuss, everybody forgets Utena. But in the anime, Anthe, like, stabs Utena or something? There's a fight there,
yeah.
That is not in the manga.
Yeah. which I think sort of was intended with the sort of more complicated themes that the anime was dealing with the patriarchy and all that. Like, you know, people who are often afraid, even victims of it, are afraid to escape that system, which I think was sort of the Anthony stabbing Utena at the end that was supposed to symbolize.
There is definitely something more complicated going on there that's not in the manga.
No.
And in all of these series of events, I would say that also the biggest difference is that the part where Utena falls in love with Akio is much shorter in the manga, and there's no, like, weird sexy stuff.
And it's way, the exact nature of her feelings for him are way more complicated in the anime. And, like, and it's implied it's more, she probably doesn't feel the way she thinks she feels for him.
There's also just less gross stuff between him and Anthy. It is somewhat implied in the manga, but definitely not to the extent that it is in the anime.
It's way too much incest in that show.
So those are the big differences that I could think of between the end.
Yeah.
In that it's just less complicated. And I did read in one of the interviews with Chiyo Saito that she was like, yeah, we intended the manga to be for, like, a younger audience. Mm-hmm. And then the movie version of the manga was actually published in a magazine that was like, oh, it had a slightly older audience, so that's why maybe it's more sexy and whatever. Yeah, that's why Toka's dick is there now. And there's, like, explicit sex scenes, and you're like, okay, cool. So, like, in those ways, that makes sense. And I think that that's, like, to me, that makes it kind of fair in the it being, like, Utena light thing. In, like, okay, it's cool if you're introducing these themes to 10 to 15 year olds instead of older teens, like the anime would be.
It definitely feels like Utena light, like an intro for a younger audience is not ready for something that weird yet.
Not ready for that, has not hit their sexuality yet, so maybe shouldn't go that far. And so overall, these differences I think lead up to it being a much more simple deconstruction of, like, a prince-princess story, rather than it being, like, a total takedown of the patriarchy and sexuality and everything else along with it. It's just kind of like, all right, no. Like,
yeah, more nods at that stuff than, like, rips it apart.
Yeah. It's not like, I'm going to tear apart your whole worldview. It's like, I'll just lightly question it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's okay.
It sort of reminds me of, Princess Tutu gets compared to Utena a lot, even though I don't really think Princess Tutu is dealing with the same set of issues that Utena is. Mm-hmm. But it sort of nods at a few of them. I don't know if you've seen that show or not.
I've only seen a couple episodes of it. I think it is maybe more compared to Utena from an aesthetic perspective. I think that makes sense.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
But I think I've seen people compare sort of its folk, because it has a big fairy, a lot of fairy tale motifs, and it uses that to, like, criticize a lot of the traditional tropes of fairy tales, but sort of different ones than Utena. And it definitely doesn't go as far, although it nods at some similar ideas, I think, but it doesn't like dig deep into them. Mm-hmm. It's more like, oh, you should, you know, forge your own path, choose, you know, the role you want to be, rather than, you know, there shouldn't be these roles, there shouldn't be this path, which is more what Utena is saying. And so I think, I mean, not to downplay Princess Tutu, I love it, and I think it has a lot to say about other things. Mm-hmm. It's more, I would say the manga in Utena is kind of like that, and sort of it's more introducing these ideas and sort of more feminism 101 take on it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I guess the Utena manga is kind of like feminism, somewhere between feminism 101 and, like, a higher level, I guess.
Yeah.
And then Utena anime is like, here's, like, the senior level thesis
course. It's much more radical.
Yeah.
like in the actual definition of radical feminism, not what the internet has distorted into, which is, like, the actual definition is sort of like the difference between it and mainstream feminism is radical feminism is more like, we have to fundamentally change society to make it equal for women. Whereas more conventional feminisms are like, oh, well, if we change these laws, well, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so I think Utena and how it differs, how the anime Utena, I think, differs from a lot of other, like, quote, feminist, unquote, anime and manga is that it is that radical.
Right. And I think that's...
Does that make sense?
Yeah. Because, like, personally for me, it's like growing up, I was always like, I want to be equal to boys. That's the equivalent of like, I should behave like a boy. Like, it's just like idolizing, yeah. Which is basically what Una's doing because she always wants to be a prince and whatever.
Yeah.
But in the end, it's kind of like, oh yeah, no, wait. Actually, that's terrible. And what you need to do is like fundamentally just be like, all of this is nonsense.
Yeah, you don't want to be a prince or a princess is what it's trying to say.
Yeah. It totally makes it a cyclical process of like, well, Anthe made Dios a prince, basically, and then she became a princess, but like, that didn't really work out for either of them, and Uten is always like, I want to be a prince, and then she becomes a princess, and is like, wait, this didn't go as I wanted it to. And obviously, multiple side stories, and the movie being about literally like getting out of a box of what you've been put in because it's stopped you from progressing in your actual story and being whatever you were supposed to be. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Utna. It's deep.
Yeah. So did you want to talk about the movie manga and the movie? Because it's been longer since I saw each of those.
Yeah. I'll try to do this justice. So, I mean, the basic plot line. So people have the debate of whether the movie is like a continuation or an alternate retelling. And I guess it could be both. I think it's mostly an alternate retelling.
Yeah.
Where Utna goes to the school, that's Otori Academy, meets the Rose Bride, blah, blah, blah. They're trapped. I guess the biggest new twist is that, like, Toga was actually the prince that saved Utna and has died when he did that. But Utna doesn't know that until, like, halfway through or whatever. And then that's the same thing that has happened to Akio, like, so they're both just, they can exist in Otori Academy by Anthe and Utna dreaming them or whatever.
Yeah, they're like ghosts, basically.
Yeah, they're ghosts that are there.
Dream ghosts.
Dream ghosts. Sexy dream ghosts. And so, of course, Anthe's like, no, like, we should stay here. Like, there's the whole backstory of, like, how she got some scar because Akio was, like, still pretty trash and, like, attacked her and, like, did weird sexy things to her. And Utna at the end is like, no, we should run away. Obviously, we should go to the outside world where things are actually real there. And we can not be trapped by our memories of dead people. Like, that sounds cool. Let's run away for that. So that's basically the manga plotline. And I would say the movie plotline is pretty similar, except in the fact that in the anime, there were, again, far more characters. And Juri is queer. And so, like...
Yeah.
There's definitely a more heavy focus on, like, Shiori. So Shiori gets a whole, like, pretty big plot in the anime version.
Yeah, she's non-existent in the movie manga or the regular manga. Because, I mean, like, she's there in the anime because Juri is in love with her. There's no point if Juri is straight.
Yeah. And I guess at the end, like, again, the anime is playing with those same ideas, but has much more heavy symbolism. So the whole ending of the movie is them turning into cars.
Yeah. Also, like, them, once they turn back into humans, making out naked.
Yeah, that happens. You have to 100% know that they are queer.
Which people still somehow argue about with the anime series.
What?
Yeah.
I think it's pretty clear.
Yeah, me too. But people argue about Yuri on Ice. They argue about... there's always...
That's true. They argue about everything.
Yeah, there's always somebody trying to deny it out there. The movie tries as hard not to do that because of naked kissing.
Yeah.
There's nothing like hiding the kiss. Because... In the anime, there is a moment where they kiss off screen in the ending theme, the second ending theme, where, like, Utna dips her. And I think originally that was supposed to, like, there's an official art of that where they're kissing, clearly. But they don't show that in the anime. They just show them her dipping her off screen.
Yeah, the movie version is certainly, like... It pans up through their naked bodies and them, like, holding each other very intimately and then kissing. So, like, I think it's pretty clear.
Yeah, it's very sexy, yeah.
And, like, I guess the manga version is, like, okay, but it's certainly not as fun as it is in the movie, the actual movie, because, like, you get great lines, like, Shiori being, like, you thought you were the only one who could turn into a car, but I can turn into a car too. And I'm like, lol, this is fantastic. I love it. It's so good. And the whole car metaphor is like super over the top. They like go through a washing machine and like get crushed and rust. It's all great. It's so fantastic.
It's over the top. I mean, nobody turns into a car in the anime series, but there's over the top stuff with Akio and his car. I think Ikuhara has a thing for like sexy cars. People on top of cars. also he directed a lot of the Sailor Moon stuff with Nephlite, who also had a sexy car.
Mm.
And Nephlite also kind of looks like the dudes in Utena anyway. Yeah. I think that's a thing for Ikuhara. I can't remember if cars played prominent roles in Penguin Drum and Yuri Kuma. I feel like that might have been one of those. I feel like maybe got over his car thing by that point. But I feel like there was a significant car in one of those. But I could be wrong about that.
Well, I hope there was a car in one of them. Yeah, that's. I mean, definitely just like manga significantly lacks sexy cars. And I think that's sad. But I understand, but it's sad.
But it's because it's created by a different person. I don't think she has the thing for cars.
Yeah.
That Ikuhara seems to have.
Yeah, I mean, Akio's car is there. It's just not sexy.
Also, cars are kind of a good metaphor for adolescence, which I think is what they're intended to be, in like the terms of the high literary version of why they're there in Utena, not just the, I think Ikuhara likes like sexy people in cars. Like they're a good metaphor for adolescence because most people, not me, learn how to drive a car when they're 16 or yeah, whatever age it is in, you know, your country, which is usually something around there. So it's sort of a metaphor for. And there's a good moment in the anime where Toga is in the car with Akio, and Akio offers to let Toga drive, and Toga says, "I'm not old enough yet." And it's supposed to be like, you're doing a lot of things you aren't old enough
yeah
yet.
Yeah, right.
And it's sort of like a weird moment when you remember that Toga is a teenager, and he's also in over his head, too, and he's also being manipulated.
Yeah. I also agree that the car is, like, a pretty good metaphor, so it's, like, kind of tragic that it's not in the manga, but...
Yeah.
Oh, well. Sad. so that's the basic walkthrough. I guess I wanted to talk about more flower imagery, because mm-hmm. I do think it's interesting, also the inversion of that, in that we often talk about, like, virginity and whatever as, like, deflowering a person, but the names of the manga chapters are very much about, like, becoming a full flower.
Yeah, and there's sort of the different levels of flower growing.
Yeah, it's like to till, to seed, to bud, to sprout or something is the five of them. Don't quote me on that. It's something like that, okay?
I have them right here if you want to know.
Okay.
I brought the manga over to where I'm sitting to do this. So I think oh my god, I just love all the gorgeous official art that it opens with. The full color stuff.
Oh yeah, the full color pages are really cool in the Viz version. They're so pretty.
So it's to till, to plant, to sprout. That's the first volume. And then it's even got Nomura with his boy, who's secretly Anthy. Like, that's great.
I know. Well, they have, like, basically the same name. It's like...
Yeah.
Mamiya or something is his name.
And then the last two ones are to bud and to blossom.
Ah, okay. To blossom. Makes more sense.
Another thing that's a side story is for people who remember the whole Juri Shiori Ruka thing in the anime. I mean that's a side story in the manga too, minus Shiori.
Right. Yeah, I was like, Ruka was in the anime, but also similarly for like an episode, right?
It's more directly suggested to be a Juri love interest, whereas in the anime that's one sided because she's gay.
Yeah. Oh, she was totally in love with him
and his, in the manga
whatever.
I just couldn't remember if he liked her back it too in the manga, but it was, you know, it was tragic in some way. So
I think it's implied at least, because he comes back and is like, I just wanted her to like become not sad anymore, like I wanted her to be really happy, which I took as a like, yes, I like you back sort of deal. And and then in the manga it's supposed to be like, I guess Juri like transferred her feelings a little bit to Toga or something like that.
Yeah,
but back to flowers. So I mean, I think that's also a good deconstruction of shoujo manga, having podcasted about CCS recently, I'm like, oh god, so many flowers all over the place. Not used in a sexual way, but just so many flowers.
Yeah, I mean, maybe they are in Utena. I feel like kind of everything in Utena kind of is, but
oh yeah,
it's more of a growing up metaphor.
Yeah, it's definitely a growing up metaphor, but I like it for its inversion of like not being negative in the end, like mm-hmm. not really being about the deflowering, like, oh, suddenly you've lost something, like you're not a pretty flower anymore because you've like given up this thing. It's like, no, we have finally come into ourselves, like we have broken the binary and it's great. Like, yeah. And I'm like, yay. Woo. Yeah, and then otherwise I had these pull quotes from Chiyo Saito. There are some things that I disagree with her on. Like, the second pull quote I have was, I wasn't trying to do anything specific with male or female sexuality. It's more a matter of one human loves another human. And I'm like, okay, we all understand what that means, sort of, but, like, you kind of had to do it by breaking those sexualities, so you had to make a commentary on those at first. Like,
yeah, and I also feel like she does treat men and women differently in the manga, even if it seems like she's grasping for a, you know, that shouldn't be an issue thing. And also, like, in the manga, they're basically all hetero romances, the ones that are explicit. So, I mean, I don't really buy that.
Right, yeah. And I read in a Mary Sue article that, like, she is, like, the Mary Sue article made it seem like she's actively said homophobic things, which I couldn't really find, like, actively, like, I hate gay people, but, like...
Well, there's I think a lot of that has sort of evolved over fandom telephone.
Uh-huh.
Like, but I think the main thing was that she was not a fan of Utena and Anthy as a romantic pairing originally, although she eventually changed her mind. So I think that was what turned into she's been homophobic. I've never actually seen her say anything homophobic. I think she just wasn't into the idea of that specific of having a lesbian relationship or that specific relationship in her manga.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense. I mean, because the Mary Sue article did link to one of the... There's a site that has, like, a bunch of interviews or whatever with them translated with B-Papas translated.
Yeah. Is that otori.endu?
Yeah, that site.
Yeah.
And it was actually for a commentary on the DVD for episode 37 or something was what they linked to. And I didn't get to read the whole thing, but I tried to just, like, you know, command F gay or something that would come up with it. And the only thing that came up for that was, you know, one of them asserting, like, oh, it's really popular in the gay community. And she was like, haha, do you want to definitively say that? Which was kind of just like, okay, that doesn't seem homophobic. It just seems kind of like mildly questioning.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm looking over it. Yeah, I've read a lot of those commentaries. I don't remember seeing anything specifically homophobic. I mean, I could be wrong, but I've also gotten the sense from the Utena fandom that, like, Chiyo Saito is often viewed very unfavorably by fans, to a degree that can be kind of uncharitable and trying too hard. if that makes sense. If that makes sense.
Yeah. Well, we all know that the internet can try too hard sometimes. And certainly fandom can try too hard sometimes. fandom. I love you, but also you scare me.
Yeah, fandom loves to, like, I mean, I've seen stuff that probably never existed attributed to all sorts of people, particularly over that issue, over LGBT stuff. You know, you say something slightly weird and people decide you're a homophobe.
Right. Ugh, people.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, one of the other things that I just pulled was her, you know, saying what she envisioned the themes sort of being and stuff. So she was like, the theme became one of what struggles do women go through in their search for happiness? Because mm-hmm. the manga was aimed at a very young age, it's very difficult to present that philosophy directly, so I had to write these themes in a roundabout manner. When I drew the movie adaptation manga, it was in a magazine aimed at an older audience, and I could tell the story in a straighter fashion. I think probably the movie portrays the themes in an even more direct fashion than my movie manga. Yes, because it has cars. You can get everywhere faster with cars. yeah, and I appreciate... I mean, I think her summarizing the theme as what struggles do women go through in their search for happiness, I was like, that's a perfect summation and why everybody probably really likes this. And then, I don't know, it was interesting to me to see her comment on, like, how far or not women had come at that point, because they talk a lot about how Utno is inspired by the Rose of Versailles, which I have not seen or read or anything. So I don't have a great context for that, but... Yeah, so then Saito says, it's not necessarily true that women are gaining a stronger place in society. It's possible that they don't have a stronger position at all, but at the very least, it seems that now is a time when a woman can decide how to show the world her own feminine beauty and be proud of it. And I think that was specifically in relation to, like, Utna's uniform being, you know, like, they say it's a male uniform, but it's not actually the uniforms that anybody else wears. And it still really, like, prominently shows off her legs and stuff. So Utna's still, like, being a sexual being and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of thought that was kind of a negative comment. Like, they haven't, we've gained nothing. Of course, this is from, like, 2000.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, then that just started, got me thinking, since, you know, like, clearly Utna's supposed to be, like, an updated version or whatever of Rose of Versailles. I've heard talks and can see it myself that, you know, like, Kill la Kill is supposed to be an updated Utna. And I'm like, do you feel that? No.
No. I think it shows some influence from it, but I don't think it's, like, dealing with at all with the kind of issues that I think it just has some aesthetic influence from it. And maybe some very broad, like, thematic imagery, but I don't know that it's dealing with the, I don't know. I'm kind of in the middle of the endless Kill la Kill debate. I think there are things that are interesting.
You're very middle ground on Kill la Kill. Okay.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. Because it's a lot of fun. It's a really cool looking show.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that it's either as, I don't think it's a feminist progressive work, but I also don't think it's, like, as horribly degrading as some people talk about it. I think it's just a mixed bag of things.
That's fair.
That's how I feel about it. Yeah. What do you think?
I really like Kill la Kill. Like, I would put it as one of my favorite anime. That's definitely largely because I really like the main character. Again,
yeah,
I get really influenced really cool by main characters. I do think it's one of the few things that has worked on a satirical level for me. Like, I've really lost faith in satire as a useful thing for society, mm-hmm. largely. Kill la Kill works for me, but clearly because there's such a large debate about it, I'm like, okay, clearly it like doesn't work as well as I want it to mm-hmm. as a satirical thing.
Yeah, I didn't really see it as a satire. I just saw it. I thought it had some elements of that, but it was mostly just throwing fun things at the wall.
I think that Kill la Kill certainly, because it's definitely more oriented towards like being an action anime.
Yeah.
I think it definitely doesn't go as far as to, like, totally destroy your worldview as Utna does.
Mm-hmm.
I do think that it deals with female sexuality, with imagery, and overt things in a
mm-hmm.
in a interesting manner in to, like, almost a level of degree as Utna does. Mm-hmm. And there's still, like, crappy sexual abuse things that I think Kill la Kill handles worse than Utna, but, like,
mm-hmm.
perhaps is trying to do a similar thing yeah. and just fails to do.
Yeah, it felt like it tried to do something interesting with that, and then it couldn't really handle it.
Yeah, it was like, I don't actually have time to do this exploration. And I'm like, then you shouldn't have put it there. Cool. Like, great. No, but yeah, like and I think like Mako is like a more over the top of Wakaba and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I really hope that Satsuki's name, last name being Kiryuin, is a nod towards Toga's last name being Kiryu. I really want that to be
maybe.
A thing.
I don't know what the Japanese characters would be for that, but maybe. I never thought of that, but that's a good point.
Yeah, well, I talked about it with Jeff because I showed him the kanji and he was like, oh no, they're totally different kanji. And I was like, oh, but I mean, it still sounds the same. He's like, oh yeah, I mean, the level that they do in Japan is probably like, oh yeah, we want Kiryuin to be a nod to that, but then we want the characters. He was like, the characters mean like demon institution, and he didn't know the middle one or something. So he's like, but they normally just go back and try to like find characters that will like be, you know, significant to whatever their character traits are and stuff like
yeah.
that. So he's like, so it's possible that they were like, yeah, we want it to be that, and then just like made the characters fit for that. Mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, well, maybe then. I have hopes.
the more recent Utna nod that I feel like might be intentional is Mickey in Yuri on Ice being a twin brother who's a little too obsessed with his twin sister.
Yeah, I didn't make that connection.
Because Miki Kaoru, in at least I think in both the anime and the manga, they say that he is nicknamed Miki.
Yeah.
So I kind of wondered. I mean, I feel like people tend to read Utena into everything. Like, I remember that people were saying, like, to give another example from Yuri on Ice, like with the like design of the Arrow story when Yuri's imagining it, they were like, oh, like that shadow stuff is like the Shadow Girls in Utena. And I think that's more that there's a common inspiration.
Yeah, you're like, actually, this is kind of a thing.
Yeah, it's more that there's a pre-existing type of art that they're both influenced by. But the Miki thing seems kind of on the nose.
Yeah.
And with that, I kind of wonder if there was some influence there. I mean, I would not be surprised if Sayo Yamamoto is influenced by Ikuhara in some way, because she deals with some similar themes in her stuff. But I also wouldn't be surprised if she came to that stuff independently.
Nice.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, non-anime obvious new thing is, like, Steven Universe is, like,
oh, yeah.
And upgraded.
That's like, there's no question that they're influenced by Utena.
Yeah, right.
There's lots of really explicit visual references, like in that one episode where Pearl like duels her like evil, like that like, evil alter ego robot something, and like they very explicitly are mimicking like the movements in Utena duel sequences. So like there's no question there.
Zero question. Also, Steven Universe is great, and everybody should watch
it. Yeah.
Okay, so I think we've reached the point where we get really silly, which is hard to do with Utena, but I'm trying, okay?
Yeah, I mean, there's some episodes in that anime that are pretty silly. Like,
it's Nami true.
Turning to a cow.
Yeah, that one's pretty silly. That is also a nod in the movie that I forgot about, but I hit upon when I briefly rewatched some scenes, like a half hour before doing this podcast. I was like, oh yeah, this is there, cool, I love it. This movie's great. Yes, so I am trying to do a silly, like, love quiz thing in each episode, but I didn't really think that was appropriate for Utena, so I figured instead we'll figure out which Disney prince Utena is, because she always really wants to be a prince. And we can take it separately if we disagree, like, on an answer that we think would be appropriate for Utena or whatever.
Okay.
So this is a quiz on ohmydisney.com. I don't know if that's actually affiliated with Disney, probably not. But the quiz is just, which Disney prince are you? And the like intertext is, if you're a Disney prince, you're likely to have one or more of the following qualities: impeccable style, an affinity for meggings, an incredible singing voice, a trusty sidekick, and maybe even an exceptional amount of smolder. In other words, if you're a Disney prince, you are an incredible human. Want to find out which Disney prince you are? Answer a few questions about your royal self and find out once and for all. Okay. And the first question is, you're going out for the day to do princely things. Which accessory is a must? A cape? A stylish hat? Meggings? A vest. I don't know what meggings are. Am I
like
a failure?
Man leggings.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
Yeah.
I don't know style. I'm the least stylish person.
I don't know that much about it either, but I think that's what those are. Because they do sure wear a lot of leggings, Disney princes.
Okay.
I don't know what Utena would choose. She seems like a vest kind of person.
I was going to put vest too. I like it. Vest. Selected. Okay. Next question. You need to choose a sidekick. Which type of animal do you choose? Frog, horse, dog? No sidekick for me.
She seems, I mean, I don't think, she doesn't seem to connect well to animals in general, but she also seems like she'd be a horse girl. I feel like I feel like Utena went through a horse phase.
Yeah, and I mean, she warms up to Choo-Choo.
Yeah.
She clearly likes little sidekick things. All right, horse, I'll agree. Which song is your favorite? I See the Light, Kiss the Girl, Once Upon a Dream, A Whole New World. Okay. A Whole New World, obviously. Easy answer.
Yeah.
Done. Pick a location to sing at. Enchanted Forest, Magical Castle, Under the Sea, City Rooftop.
Well, obviously Magical Castle.
Duh.
Magical Upside Down Castle.
Yeah. That you can make right side up if you, whatever. I don't know. Yeah. Which would you rather battle? Dragon, all-powerful genie, sea witch, sorcerer.
Which is the easiest one to stab?
Not a dragon, probably?
I think he kills that dragon with a sword.
He does have a sword in that picture. Definitely not genie, because they're like a wisp of
yeah.
I feel like she doesn't want to kill a witch, like Anthony is kind of a witch. I think dragon might be the best answer then.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Where would you rather live? Castle, palace, cottage, tower.
She likes that tower.
She does like that tower. Yeah.
She gets the same with Anthony. I think that one.
Done. What is your greatest dream? True love, riches, success, happiness.
Hmm.
That's tricky because
it was... riches or success, but maybe one of the other two.
It was initially true love, right? But then maybe by the end it's only happiness because...
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, she does get both of them, I guess. I think she finds true love with Anthony.
I love to think that she does, that they run away together. And I will select happiness because I like that answer better.
Okay, since we're split, I'll select true love and see if I get a different answer.
There you go. That's all right. Okay, what is your best quality? Bravery, humor, smolder, charm. Bravery?
Bravery, yeah.
100%.
She's a Gryffindor, 100%.
What is your preferred mode of transportation? Horse, carriage, walking, ship.
Well, carriage is closest to car, so.
Oh, that's true. Carriage it is. Pick a princely catchphrase. Do you trust me? Here comes the smolder. The perfect day to be at sea. Kissing would be nice, yes? Now I'm confused.
The first one I feel like sounds like something she might say.
Yeah, that's my
maybe the
too.
Last one she'd say toward Anthony.
I'm gonna go with do you trust me.
okay
let's see. And of course I got you're Aladdin from Aladdin.
Yeah, I got that one. I got that one too.
We're Aladdin. Okay. You really know how to wear a vest. You are always wondering if people trust you, and the answer is yes, they do. That's correct. I agree with this. Some people, ahem, Jafar, may underestimate you, but they shouldn't because you're smart, kind, and brave. I agree. Congratulations, you diamond in the rough you. I think that's accurate.
That does describe Utna pretty well.
Yeah. 100, we did it. We've got it. Utna is Aladdin. Done. I love it. All right. And then my traditional, like, second to last segment is usually shipping corner, which I feel is very hard for Utna, but we
I was sort of thinking, I don't know that Utna is something where I'm big into shipping, but I certainly have my opinions about, you know, mostly which pairings I like, which pairings do I deeply not like. Okay. That I think I'm luckily is sort of the intentional feeling I think I'm supposed to get, at least from the anime.
Yeah, the problem is that this is much easier with the anime than it is with the manga. Because there are not really that many pairings in the manga that are made explicit. The only ones I had written down were Utna and Anthy, which is, like, not very explicit. It's kind of, like, you're supposed to imply that. Utna and Dios, you're clearly not supposed to like that.
Yeah.
Anthy and Dios. And Juri and Ruka, which is a side story.
Yeah. What about Utna and Toga? I feel like that's in the manga as well.
That's true.
I don't like that one either, but I think you're supposed to like it if you're just reading the manga, but I don't really like it from the anime. I like that he ends up being into her, but she can do better.
That's true. He is very into her, even in the manga. That still carries over, mostly.
He eventually falls for her in the anime, and that's sort of how he starts to realize, whoa, this situation's kind of f***ed up. And he wants to save her, but she ends up defeating him in a duel, so he realizes he can't do that.
Oops. Yeah, I guess in the manga, he's just kind of, like, always into her. Mm-hmm. And always knew that World's End was a bad thing. Which, like, fair, the name is World's End. That doesn't sound like something you want to happen. But
yeah,
nobody questions this. Fine. Cool.
In the anime, I think he thinks he's aware of what Akio's up to. I don't think he fully understands what he's up to, but he knows that he doesn't have the best intentions. And I think Toga kids himself for a while that he doesn't care. And he sort of takes pride in being the one who's in on it, and in being sort of like Akio's right-hand man. But I think over time he starts to realize this is f***ed up, particularly when he starts to fall for Utna. But I think just in general, he starts to realize this is f***ed up and, well, I don't really want this system either. I don't know. Toga's an interesting character.
Toga's an interesting character.
I mean, they all are, but... Yeah.
Every time I look at him, I'm like, you're just Alan Shazar from Escaflowne. I try to get it out of my mind, but I'm like, but I can't.
All pretty anime boys look kind of similar.
Especially from the 90s.
Yeah, I always think he looks like Nephite from Sailor Moon, except red instead of brown hair.
Yeah.
I don't know. Nephite kind of looks like a cross between Toga and Saionji because Nephite has that, like,
yeah,
hair.
Yeah. True. I agree.
Yeah, pretty anime boys looked similar. All looked similar in the 90s.
Yeah. We grew up since then. We have different pretty anime boy types now. So nice.
Yeah, it's nice how they just keep keeping having new variations of beautiful.
I love it. I guess the only thing I would say is Utena and Anthy forever. Like, yay.
Yeah. What about other characters, though?
I mean, it's hard because in the manga, I'm like, I don't know. They don't really need to be with anybody.
Yeah. I mean, in the anime, I definitely think that there's something between Toga and Saionji. I don't know if that would be a good relationship for either of them, but I think it would certainly be better than, you know, Saionji chasing after Anthy or Toga and Akio or yes. Toga and Utena or whatever. Like, they could be good if they could get themselves out of the Otori system and out of their weird, like, masculinity competition that they have devised because Saionji can't admit his feelings.
Right. And Saionji is, like, aggressive male stereotype, and Toga is more, like, chivalrous.
Well, Toga's, like, the alpha male, and Saionji's, like, the beta male.
True.
Saionji's, like, oh, like, every, like, nice guy TM on dating sites.
Right. I think it's very funny because I'm currently reading Herland by Charlotte Gillian. I forget her name.
Yeah.
Yellow wallpaper lady.
I have that book on my shelf. I haven't read it yet.
But it's very much like, it's kind of infuriating because, you know, it's from 1915 and it all feels too real. And I'm just like, no, yeah. How? But yeah, it's like three main dudes who are all just like different aspects of masculinity. And one of them is just like Southern chivalry. And the other is like hyper masculine alpha male. Like,
yeah.
I'm just like, no, it's too, I can't, it stop, it hurts. But it's fun, but also it hurts.
Yeah. Miki's actually more the analog to nice guys.
Oh, that's true.
Like, because he's the, like, well, the whole thing he has in his student council arc episode in the anime is basically that toward Anthy.
Yeah.
So he's the more direct analog. I think Saionji's a little bit more complicated. It's like he just feels emasculated and he tries to deal with that by being violent and aggressive towards women.
And then they beat him up, and that just proves how emasculated he
is.
Yeah. Yeah, so do we have any final thoughts?
The manga's good. It is good to know that it's different from the anime, particularly in terms of level of queerness, but it's still very much worth reading if you like the anime, or if you just like shoujo manga and want something that's a little bit smarter than most of them.
Yeah, if you want a deconstruction of your shoujo manga, like, start here. I would also recommend that, like, yeah, if you liked the anime, you should probably read the manga. I'm not gonna promise that you like love it to death, but yeah, it's worth a read.
It's definitely worth getting the gorgeous viz sets.
Yeah, it will look real pretty on your shelf.
Yep. It was like I moved rooms at the co-op that I live in. I'm like, I have to display this prominently.
Nice.
It's so pretty.
I'm kind of like, I just have to put it somewhere where it fits. I don't know. Here we go.
At the very least, if you're bummed out about the fact that it is less gay than the anime, you do get a very gay poster with it.
You get a super gay poster with it.
and lots of gay official art in at the beginning of both of them.
Yeah, the gay poster is them naked, so you're
yeah,
welcome.
Yeah, on a bed. It's lovely.
It's great. Sometimes I'm like, I can never hang this up.
My office where I meet with my students is fast becoming an anime shrine, but it's like I try to be careful not to put the really racy stuff up there.
Yeah.
Not the even mildly racy stuff. So like, I would love to put that poster up in my office, but I'm like, no, I think this is crossing a line.
Yeah.
I have some Utena fan art up. I have one of Utena, one of Nanami, and then one of Utena and Anthy together. That's very romantic, but not sexual. But I can't put that poster up as much as I would love to have Chiyo Saito's drawing of them together up in my office. I'm like, nope, that's a little too far.
A tragedy. But, you know, you can have it. You'll always have it. And
yeah, I can put it in my room, in my bedroom.
Yeah, that's what really counts. All right. Thanks for listening to Shoujo and Tell. comments, questions, constructive criticism, concerns, need to gush about your OTP or your favorite interpretation of Utna, I don't know, whatever.
Your no TPs?
Yeah, your no TPs. Yeah, like, definitely should never happen. Oh boy. Email shoujoandtell at gmail.com or leave a comment on shoujoandtell.com. I'm also shoujoandtell on all the social medias, like the Twitters and the Facebook. Thanks again for listening. Next time, we'll be covering Cardcaptor Sakura, volumes 1-6. It's like that Cardcaptors cartoon you watched on the WB, except where Sakura is rightfully the main character, and there's, like, way less filler. Until then, bye!